Hello and welcome to the Bow Hike Podcast. Here we take a slightly unprofessional and certainly unconventional approach to the otherwise serious outdoor podcasting world. We cover a wide variety of outdoors related topics, including big game hunting, bird hunting, fishing, gear and gear reviews, and even hot or controversial topics in the outdoor news world. Our goal is to provide you, the listener, with entertainment as well as educate you on different facets of the outdoor world. We hope to provide information that is able to help you improve yourself as an outdoors man or outdoors woman and help you hone the skills you already possess. So whether you're a veteran outdoorsman or you're brand new to the game, we want to help you turn that bow hike into a successful bow hunt. So thank you for tuning into the Bow Hike Podcast. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey guys, so real quick, I want to talk to you about a couple people, a couple different guys that help out, just supporting the podcast. They don't pay me anything, nothing like that, but they help me out and they believe in me. And so they want to give you guys a deal on some of their products. So the first is Mountain Alpha over there, James and Brian. If you've heard that podcast, you know, we all need an unrelenting appetite for adventure, right? Individuality. We all have a thirst for life. At Mountain Alpha, they're a little more gritty than pretty, so they say. So to help you get the mindset and perform better in the mountains, in your mountains, head over and join the Mountain Alpha family. Move life's odds into your favor. If you go to mountainalpha.com and you want to buy any of their swag, gear, or any of their supplements, any of their products, and use code BOWHIKE, B-O-W-H-I-K-E, you'll get 10% off your order. And there's some pretty sweet stuff over there, so go check them out. If you want more information on their supplements, just reach out to the guys on Instagram or shoot them an email. They'll be happy to tell you all about it. And the other one is my buddy Steven Dan over at Elevation Fitness Training. If you're looking for a fitness and nutrition program laser-focused on bow hunters and what we face in the backcountry, Elevation Fitness Training has been doing that for dozens of people, making them stronger, more balanced, mentally tough, and fully prepared to hunt longer and smarter. Whether at home or in the gym, Elevation Fitness Training can customize your fitness program to fit the resources you have and the schedule you need to keep. So if you go over to elevationfitnesstraining.com and enter the code BOWHIKE10, B-O-W-H-I-K-E-10, you get 10% off your personalized training plan. So that's a pretty smoking deal for them to offer you guys a good deal on training. So certainly check that out.
Okay.
Boom.
Boom. Here we are back with your guys' favorite guest of all time, Garrett Carrot.
Self-proclaimed favorite guest.
Self-proclaimed favorite guest. podcasting aficionado. Do we call you a hog hunting aficionado?
Probably the worst hog hunter ever.
Okay. Well, I guess.
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah. Well, is it self-proclaimed or is it kind of a unanimous decision throughout the community?
I think if you're at the hog camp that I was at, it would have been unanimous.
All right, guys. So Garrett just recently got back from a hog hunt in California. What, a week ago? No?
Just a couple days ago.
Just a couple days.
I got so back Sunday.
You started a week ago, though.
I left last Wednesday.
That's a week from today.
That's a week ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Man, am I on point?
I didn't start hunting till Thursday, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Traveling Wednesday. So Garrett just got back from a hog hunt, and he had a very adventurous time, to say the least. So
yeah.
I wanted to have him on while it was still fresh in his memory.
Yeah, which is important because I will forget shit.
Yeah. You're the worst.
I will.
I had to text Garrett on his way over here. You've been in my house like 5 times.
Yeah.
And I had to text Garrett and say, hey, man, honest question. Do you know how to get to my house?
After that last time I picked you and Wes up, it's in the memory bank now. It's not going anywhere.
Okay. All right.
Well, got a mind like a steel trap that works sometimes.
No, you have a mind like an expanded steel trap. So we're going to go over a kind of a day-to-day. It's probably going to bounce around a little bit. We'll try and keep from digressing too bad. But we're going to go kind of day-to-day on Garrett's hog hunt. There's certainly some interesting points we're going to get to in here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm sure most of you guys know Garrett, but for those of you that don't, as I do with every guest, how about a little short introduction?
Yeah. Garrett Weaver from Roseburg, Oregon, On Point Podcast, and also have a YouTube channel. Self-titled Garrett Weaver. That's the best I could come up with at the time. And basically just kind of doing what Royce does, helping people with bow hunting, hunting in general. We get it. We're starting to start getting into the rifles and stuff, but yeah, it's basically how to up your game and make the best all around, physically, mentally, gear wise capabilities, just trying to make people the best hunters they can be in all areas of their life, really.
Yeah. And when did you start hunting?
When did I start hunting? Well, in Oregon, legally start hunting when you're 12.
We'll go with 12.
Yeah. but I had a BB gun chasing squirrels around and had a slingshot. And,
sure.
You know,
I've
been in the woods ever since I could not even walk.
My dad. So you've been hunting 14 years officially?
15? I'm turning 30 this year.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I think you were 26 or 27? I need to stop hanging out with such old people,
face.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it's due to the fact that you can't grow facial hair.
Probably.
You have like an 8-day shadow
my
going
on
right now.
My dog grows a better beard than I do.
Your dog grows a great beard.
He does.
So, been hunting now officially for what? So then that's like 18 years, just about?
Almost 18 years.
And you finally are successful once in a while?
I actually killed something. outside of my time.
All right. So, yeah. We'll just dive right into this thing.
Let's do it, man. There's a lot to learn from my hog hunt last weekend. I'm hitting the drawing boards.
So. All right. So, kind of just go into how the plan got going, who you went with, how it started, and give them a plug if you need to.
So, Bob Morgan from Super Sneak, super cool guy. I've had him onto the podcast a couple times now, and
also
and
super sneaky.
Super sneaky. He snuck right in and on those hogs we got onto this weekend. But privileged to call him a friend now and finally been able to go hunt with him. I've known him for probably 2 years now.
Yep.
And I'm kind of slow to, for people that I meet, don't know, and haven't hunted with, it usually takes me at least 2 years to start hunting with them. I'm just a slow goer. And
it took you 9 years to marry your wife.
10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if that's any,
don't short me that 1 year.
If that's any insight to you guys, we did call Kim your long-term fiance.
And that was my running joke for a while. I'm kind of pissed because I can't use it anymore.
I know. Well, you still can. She was your long-term
fiance.
She's
my long-term wife now.
I would assume.
That's not a given anymore.
Right. It's not just assumed.
It's not just assumed.
To clear that up, it's a given for you. It's just not a given for...
I'm kind of pulling a Hank Hill, just so if people can catch on what that
all
is.
All right.
So, Bob and I kind of hit it off, been on the podcast a few times, and he offered for me to go down and hunt with him, go hog hunting and at his buddy's ranch, and I'm like, yes, yeah, absolutely, let's do this. And so we made plans, and literally like a month later, we were in California hunting hogs. It's pretty cool. It's not every time you run into somebody that says, hey, let's go do something, that it actually they will follow through on it. And then so when you get two guys that say, hey, let's go do something, and they both make shit happen, then it's kind of funny how you go down there and you go on a hunt. So
yeah,
I enjoyed the heck out of it. But yeah, Bob is a great guy, and he brought his cameraman Tyler from Volks and Media, who, if you don't know who that is, look him up. It's Volksen Media. And the guy's a stud. He's 26, films all over the world, has been offered to film for tons of people, from Randy Newberg to Sportsman's Warehouse to you name it. And he does amazing footage.
Awesome.
And so we had that guy down there filming it. And the footage we got is pretty killer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Yeah. Well, I'll make sure and tag Bob and was it Tyler?
Tyler, yeah.
I'll put Bob and Tyler's at least Instagram handles or websites or whatever in the show notes for anybody wanting to look at what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I plan on working with them more in the future. It was a blast, and Tyler is probably one of the hardest workers I've ever met. The guy would, he was running on like 6 hours of sleep in 3 days, and he was at the end of every day, he'd come back to the hotel, work on the computer until he had what he needed for Instagram clips, which would take him about an hour. And then he would go to bed while me and Bob were sleeping. So the guy's running on fumes and still produced these badass little minute clip edits.
Yeah, I saw those. Those were really good.
Yeah.
I was like
in the hotel room on like no sleep.
I was only just frustrated that they were only minute long clips, as I think most people were.
The last one he came out with when Bob's stalking that hog, that was my favorite. And the lighting was so perfect. It's, I don't know. The camera was amazing. Tyler does a great job. The stock was awesome. I'm just glad we got it on video.
Yeah, and what's kind of incredible is you say it takes him an hour to make that. It would take me at least 4 days.
Yeah, well, I was talking to some guys that do media, and they're like, yeah, it's about an hour a minute for, you know, professional. And he's about an hour a minute. He's one of those hour a minute guys. And so it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, you got to think then to come out with a 20-minute hunting video, you know, like how hard these guys are working. Yeah. Then you look at the smaller time guys too that aren't professional, so to say.
Yeah.
But are still coming out with professional quality stuff. It's got to take them 3 or 4
tons
hours for a minute, right?
So yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and even he sent me a meme of Bob, and I'll show you the meme. But Bob's reaching in his pants for his rangefinder that fell down and into his ankle. So he's like reaching way down in there, and he's got this hog, and he's like, looks like he's doing something dirty. But so he made this meme, and then he put some music to it, and he sent it to me.
Why didn't he just pull his pant leg up?
It was attached by a string. Oh my God, it was hilarious. We all watched that footage for like 5 minutes, just crying laughing. It was so funny. And so he put this perfect song to it, and it's like Going All the Way or something like that.
Oh gosh.
And anyways, long story short, the guy does great work. Bob's an awesome guy, and it was a great hunt. So
great.
Yeah,
so let's kind of, obviously you guys jumped in the truck, drove down there.
Yep
Let's get into what was the ranch called where you guys went?
It was SC2 Outdoors was the guide service in the ranch. Sean Chittum's the one that runs it. The ranch probably had a name, but I just knew it as the ranch. That's what we call it.
The ranch.
The ranch. Cool. Yeah. Just like the TV show.
The show's funny. So you guys got down there. You drove Wednesday, hit the hotel.
We were supposed to be there at 6 at the hotel. We got there at 1:30 in the morning because each one of us had shit happen. Tyler's plane was late. Bob had like a super expensive package get dropped off at somebody else's house, and they signed for it. So he's like running around looking for this package. Tyler's plane is delayed. I'm trying to tune my bow, and I'm like leaving the broadhead testing early to go to Waldron's to tune my bow, and then I still haven't packed all my stuff. It's like 4 o'clock.
Yeah. And you got an hour and a half drive
to Bob's? The hour
About
and
an
a
hour.
Half.
Yeah.
And then it's another 3 hours.
Yeah.
Down to, or 2.5 hours down to where we're going.
Yeah. Shasta County, right?
We were out of Cottonwood or Anderson.
Yeah, Shasta County. Maybe.
I have no idea. It was Tehama.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Tehama.
Yeah. Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
We were in that county. And I mean, it was hotter than Satan's butthole down there. But
it sounds warm.
Dude, it was hot.
Yeah.
It was hot. It was humid.
Mm.
So we'll talk about that too here coming up because that actually played a factor.
Yeah. So you guys get down there 1:30 in the morning on day one.
Wake
so now
at,
we're Thursday morning 1:30.
Yeah, we wake up. We get to bed about 2 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Wake up at 4. Meet the guide. Go to the ranch and then get the spiel about rattlesnakes on the way down there, which Bob reluctantly or didn't tell me about because I'm deathly afraid of snakes. And if they would have said, "Yeah, we got rattlesnakes," I probably wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, you would have.
Probably.
I could have seen you going down there in like leather chaps.
If they would have told me about it, I probably would have bought snake boots or whatever, snake shoes.
Gators.
Whatever. Gators, yeah. And because I don't like snakes. I have a legitimate phobia with snakes. And turns out Sean, Bob, Tyler, and me all had this crazy fear of snakes.
Great.
All of us.
Great.
And so
maybe he should change the name to Super Snake Outdoors.
Super Snake. Well, we'll put it this way. So I'm getting the spiel. We're going through the gate, getting the spiel. We drive in, hit the ranch house, and I immediately set up the target because I'm like, I got to shoot my bow a little bit more before we head out.
So
and before I even get off the side-by-side, he kills a freaking rattlesnake. Yeah.
So I want to cut back a little bit to why you're worried about your bow.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about that because you had the budget bow challenge that you were doing.
Yeah.
Right? So you had a bow, release.
Everything.
Everything to go hunting, $500 or under, right?
Yeah. And, you know, to be fair, I had a budget arrow worked up with that would have kept me under budget. And then I had this arrow build that was like $45 an arrow that was not in the budget. Uh-huh. But I like to test shit out. So I brought one for me, the expensive one, to test it out.
Uh-huh.
And then I brought one for the budget bow. People that want to see me be honest with the budget build.
Uh-huh.
And so I brought one. I was going to kill two hawks. So I was gonna do both. I was gonna do my job as a gear tester and then also do my job as the budget bow guy.
Right. Okay. So we had a wonderful experience the Sunday before. So you left Wednesday.
This is when shit starts to go down.
Right. You're like quick. Ready for a hunt. Got yes. my tags, everything. Yeah. So Sunday, yeah. me, you, and Wes.
We're shooting the target at 40.
40 yards. And what happened?
I was shooting pretty good.
Yeah, your first two arrows.
No, I shot two. That was my third group.
How do we? Oh yeah, I guess we
shot
a couple. Yeah, cuz
you
groups.
Guys pulled my group and it was
yeah,
like
it was really good.
It was yeah, it was a good group. I mm-hmm. saw it. I was happy with it. It was like two
a little,
and a half.
It was a little low right.
Yeah, 2.5-inch group. Yeah. At 40 yards. Plenty happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And third group, I'm standing next to Wes. You're doing something, probably talking shit.
I was also shooting.
Were you shooting?
Yeah, I had to let down after this.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. And so I'm standing next to Wes, and I'm at full draw. And then I'm starting to come down on the target, and then it just goes pop.
Just like, a little tick. Tick.
So I let down, and I immediately, I'm like, oh, not now. Not now. And I had a feeling it was going to be the limb, and so I start inspecting limbs, look at the top limbs, they're good. Look at the bottom limbs, they look pretty good. And then I see on the left bottom limb, there's this splinter about 2 inches long and about a 1/8 inch wide.
If that much. It was really small.
It was pretty small. And like, then, I mean, it was a splinter. And then yeah. it was the solid core limb, too. It uh-huh. was already an updated limb.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. I didn't figure that out until I went up there. I wasn't even paying attention.
If you were on a hunt, would you have shot that bow again?
Knowing if it was a solid core limb?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm just curious because...
Yeah. If it was the old laminated limbs, no.
Yeah.
But that limb, you could.
Well, yeah, just for the sake of you were practice yeah. shooting and you're going to say,
I've shot limbs with splinters. I've shot PSEs that had splinters right in the same spot
yeah.
for over a year.
You're going to say, like, I'm going to shoot one arrow to be successful in my hunt, and yeah. then I'm going to go get it fixed.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, my buddy had one that splintered, and it was a solid limb, and he'd shot it for a year before he got it fixed. I mean, he's a couple thousand arrows through it. But that, you know, not knowing that this was a solid core limb, knowing Bowtech's history, I'm like, all right, I just got lucky this thing didn't fall on delaminate on me. And now I'm 3 days from leaving for a hunt, and I'm smoking it right now. I'm dialed. I've been shooting a lot leading up to that week because I wanted to look good at Sages. I wanted to make sure I was competing and wasn't
shooting like me.
Shooting like shit. No, yeah. not like you. I think you probably outshot me that day. I don't know.
Well, you were also shooting a bow with a 2-inch too long draw length.
Inch and a half,
that
yeah.
That wasn't yours.
Yeah.
So.
And I did good for like the first 6 targets.
Yeah. I think you just had a lot on your plate after that. So.
After that, I was you know, hands up in the air. You know, Ricky Bobby, I don't know what to do with my hands kind yeah. of thing. I was like,
don't you put that evil on me, Ricky
yeah,
Bobby.
What do you do? You know, and so I, you know, and to be fair, when I bought that bow for the budget bow build, I did a podcast stating, I know what the risks are with this bow. The risks are is that it's going to eat cables and strings because the angle that the cables come off the cam, it goes through cables pretty quick. And then also, this has been a pretty bad year. Like if according to Bowtech, about a 25% chance of it blowing up. And that is coming from one of their employees, and I will not use names, but about 25% shot chance that you're going to have that bow issue.
Sure.
With the regular limbs. With the solid core limbs, much more rare.
Right.
Although you still have problems. And long story short, I took the risk because I knew they would take care of me if it happened.
Yep.
And hopefully it just wouldn't happen on a hunt. Well, it didn't happen on a hunt. It happened right before. And so I took it up there, and they took right good care of me, tuned it up, and had me out the door. And that was Monday.
Okay. So right away, you got it fixed next day.
Right away, I got it fixed. I'm like, I don't have time to mess with this.
Yeah. And went to Eugene.
Went to Eugene, got it done. And then I think Tuesday I worked, shot my, I don't know if I had a time to shoot my bow.
Were you guys broadhead testing Tuesday?
That was Wednesday, wasn't it? Yeah, Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah, Wednesday. I took off Wednesday to broadhead test.
Okay.
And so I shot my bow a little bit Tuesday, hit 20 yards, and kind of dialing it in again. And then didn't do any tuning to it because it was, you know, rabbit ears, bullet hole
right.
tuned, paper tuned. And Wednesday went to filming broadheads, and that took for freaking ever. We woke up, I was at Cody's at 6 a.m. didn't leave. We weren't even done. I had to leave early, and that was like at 2 o'clock,
uh-huh.
and we weren't even close to being done.
Yeah.
And then went to Waldron's and said, I got to paper tune this bow, and forgot. Here's another cliffhanger.
Yeah.
We had it in the Hooter Shooter, me and Wes, before we were starting to film, and had it in the Hooter Shooter Tuesday evening. Had it in the Hooter Shooter, and it popped in the Hooter Shooter while it was at full draw, because I went over Tuesday evening to build some of the test stuff. And I was like, son of a gun, you know, like it popped. I smelt this burning, or I smelt this burning smell, which typically is like a screw.
Yeah.
You know, when you break a screw loose.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, it's got to be something with the screw, probably the cam, you know, the modules setting into place. And so, not talking shit, but the top cam was slow 5/16ths ish. Yeah. Pretty slow.
Yeah.
And
out of time.
Out of time. And although they left me, though I left the shop shooting a bolt hole, that's pretty far.
Yeah.
After it popped, it was much closer.
Yeah.
So long story short, went to Waldron's after broadhead testing, put one twist in the right yoke. And then from there, that got my timing like perfect. Just that one twist. And then slid the rest about a 16th over and got center shot and everything. Looked pretty good.
Okay.
Shot at 20 with field point and broadhead in the bullseye touching each other. Boom. Fixed it. Took me half an hour.
Yeah.
Yes. Happy.
Good.
Leave. And then so fast forward to when they kill the rattlesnake. I'm shooting at the range and I'm shooting at the 40 and I'm hitting low left. I'm like, okay, I'll bump it up, you know, get it dialed in to where it's it bullseye at 40.
Now, are you moving your rest or are you
moving
just moving
my
your sight?
My sight at this okay. time?
Yeah, at this point you're like, I'm on a hunt, I'm not tuning my bow.
Yeah,
I just want to hit
where I'm aiming at. Okay. You know, I'm seceding a perfect tune to. I'm putting a Band-Aid on a major problem.
Absolutely,
here.
Yeah.
And long story short, before my bow blew up, I had done a day 6 review of arrows, and I had tuned my bow, and bare shaft tuned my bow. And then I did the broadhead, or the day 6 review, with 5 different types of broadheads shooting at 40 yards, and all of them were in a playing card at 40. They were just killing it. The arrows, the broadheads, didn't matter the broadhead. Fast forward to now I can barely be consistent at 40 yards. I'd have 2 arrows touching at 40 in the bullseye, and then I'd have 2 4 to 6 inches apart. The next group.
Yeah.
So last 2 arrows touching in the bullseye, we go hog hunting. That evening, or that day, it's freaking hot. We're running on 2 hours. I'm running on 5 hours of sleep because in the last 2 days, because I had a late night the night before that. And just long story short, lack of sleep. And I got heat stress.
Yeah.
And
heat exhaustion.
Heat exhaustion.
Yeah.
Literally.
I mean, dehydrated.
Just overheated. You know, yeah. Heat stress is where your brain, and you're a medical guy, but heat stress is where your brain starts to overheat.
That'd be heat stroke.
Heat stroke.
So heat exhaustion is simply you're dehydrated, you're too hot, you're tired, lack of sleep, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to basically
crash.
You crash the way I could relate it to being like calorie deficient and trying to exercise.
This was a severe headache.
You get a headache, get a little dizzy.
Throwing up,
mm-hmm.
Very lethargic,
yep,
clammy, uncontrolled sweating.
So with the sweating, heat exhaustion,
yeah,
you go into heat stroke, you're dry.
Okay,
yeah.
I wasn't into heat stroke, but long story short, that night I threw up before I went to bed. I didn't hunt the next morning. I was too sick.
Yeah,
and I didn't get out of bed till 10:30.
Yeah,
we couldn't get out of the heat. We could, but we didn't make the drive. But long story short, I lost a morning.
Yeah.
And,
on a 3-day hunt.
On a 3-day hunt. But that evening, I spot this big hog, the first day I spot this big ass hog and,
a hog of a hog.
The guide said like 1 in 95 chance that you see a color phased hog like that.
That's
with
cool.
That pattern. Pretty rare. And then the fact that he got that big is also pretty rare. So it's like seeing a 350-pound color phase on the coast.
Yeah, color phase bear.
Pretty freaking rare. Yeah, color phase bear. Pretty rare. Super rare. So he's like, if you shoot that thing, you should probably mount it. You won't kill another one around here like that again.
Yeah.
Very, very rare. And so I'm like, sweet, let's go. You know, I'm going to try my best, Sean. I don't know if I can do this. You know, it was a long ways away. It was like over half a mile away when we spotted it. It looked like a mini Volkswagen Bug going across the grass. It would look huge. And so I told him, like, I'm going to have to go slow. And when we get there, I can't even guarantee I can shoot. Like, yeah. I feel like dog shit right now. Mm-hmm. And so we go down there and we stalk, get within 60 yards of it. And I range it. I got a video of it. And range it and get up on my knees, pull back, anchor. Was pretty steady, but I get more steady when I sit on my heels. And so I sat on my heels. I could still see it. Take a really big deep breath, exhale, and then just bury the pin right behind the shoulder. And it has this black splotch I was aiming at right behind the shoulder, and I aim right on the top of it, which would have been like right above the heart. And punk. And I'm like, yes, yes. And then it goes right over it. I'm like, I just excuse me. I'm kind of confused at this point. I look at the pig. I look at my bow. I look at the pig. I look at my sight. Yeah, I dialed at 60. Look back at the pig. I'm like, what the hell? And then I look at Sean. I give him the confused, you know, shoulder shrug. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. My pin was there. It felt good. And he's like, shoot again. I'm like, well, I forgot my quiver. so he was carrying my arrows for me. So he throws me an arrow, and
mind you, don't do this at home.
Yeah, I crawl over, I grab the arrow, I knock it, 52 yards. The range is the 52 now. Dial to 52, shoot again, and I felt like I smoked it. Heard it hit, the hog goes, and then
I've seen the video.
Yeah, starts running. He does the kind of like a death spin, and then runs about 10 yards, and then stops, and then gets, you know, call it baby giraffe legs. He gets wobbly and can't really walk, and I'm like, yeah, go down. Right here, just he's gonna go 10 yards and die. No, he hauls butt to the pond. By this time, now I got the binos up, and I was trying to get another arrow in him. And by the time I get my arrow knocked and everything, he was already 80 yards and running, and runs to the pond, starts doing the wobbly thing again. And then Sean's like, "I think he's gonna go down, but your arrow looks low, right around the heart, maybe below the heart, but it looks low." And I'm like, I'm looking at through binos, and the blood's just piling out the armpit. And
I think maybe you clipped that.
It was like, yeah, I thought I smoked him. I thought he was going to die. And then pigs are tough. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just take an extra minute or two. And then he goes on. I thought was this death sprint from the pond down this drainage. And that was the last time I saw that hog. And we tracked him for a long ways. And then the blood was getting pretty scarce. And then he went literally back into these little mountainish area where he came from, and never saw him again. Never saw crows. The next 3 days we hunted, never saw crows. And I'm hoping he's still alive. But man, I mean, where that arrow was, it's hard to imagine he would live. But you know, obviously I didn't hit him in the heart because he wouldn't have gone that far.
No way. No, not with a good heart shot.
And and then I went back to camp, shot at 60, hit low, shot at 70, hit a foot high. I was like, well, my effective range just dropped to like 40 yards. And, you know, just it went downhill from there.
Yeah. And for guys that are listening, Garrett has shot probably five times as many arrows as I've shot in my lifetime. The guy shoots outstandingly compared to 95% of people that I've shot with or I know. So it's not an operator error. I can almost guarantee it's not an operator error in the sense of your actual holding your pin steady, pulling through a shot.
The shots broke great. I got video. You guys want to see you punch the trigger? I can show you I didn't.
Yeah.
Just based on the way that my body reacted to the shot.
Sure.
You don't get separation when you pull the trigger.
You can fake it, but you can tell.
You can. You know, it should be a reaction, not an action.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it pulled through. I mean, yeah. It really did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to enlighten people on is that you're not winging it. You're not out there just shooting distances.
Yeah.
For no reason, like
60 yards is in my wheelhouse.
Absolutely.
And I've shot a few animals over that, but
yeah, you have.
I mean, it's without sounding like a cocky arrogant douche, it is a very well inside my effective yardage. I was shooting arrows with Mike the week before that. We both shot like killer groups at 70, and then we were shooting out to 100 yards, and I, you know, was liking the results, and long story short, I thought I could make that shot with my arrows were flying. They were flying decent at 40, but I didn't shoot 40 or 60 at camp, and that's where I have a problem.
Yeah.
You know, unless I've proven to myself with that arrow and broadhead combination the exact way it is right now, that broadhead with that arrow shot that far accurately, I don't shoot that. This hunt was an exception. Because of the time constraints I had to be able to tune, mm-hmm. work on my shit, you know, all this other stuff since my bow splintered, I just didn't have time to shoot 100 yards, which is what I do. I shoot 100 yards with my broadheads typically as a confidence builder before season.
Sure.
And I didn't do that this trip. I shot out to 45 or 50.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I shot.
Yeah. So I mean... And I told you before this started, I'm not going to intentionally rag on you, but it'd be safe to say that was obvious. So not a operator error in a form of you made a bad shot, mm-hmm. but an operator error in a form of you feel responsible mm-hmm. for possibly mortally wounding,
yeah.
more than likely,
mm-hmm.
That pig because you were negligent with preparing after this disastrous bow breakdown yeah. situation.
I mean,
you feel like you should have shot your bow further before.
At camp, that the only time I would have had time would have been at camp.
Right.
And, you know, everybody's like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And you know, let's go hunting. And
so then
wish I would have took more time.
Right.
I'm not putting it on anybody there at camp. It's not their fault.
Absolutely.
However, I should have, I was overconfident in my abilities, knowing what I was doing before.
Uh-huh.
The bow, for lack of better words, took a shit on me, dumped, uh-huh. you know,
sure.
splintered on me. And so I was still back there when yeah. in reality, my effective range was probably 40.
Do you, looking back in retrospect on this, do you regret not limiting yourself to what you had shot at? So in the morning you'd shot at 40, you mm-hmm. said, I'm dead on at 40. You just yeah. went ahead and assumed, well, if I'm good at 40, I'm good at 60.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I did.
Do you regret, not having the self-control to just say, I know I'm good at 40, that's my max range, and trying to get to 40, is that, looking back, is that what you would have preferred now to have done?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah. we do all this stuff to prepare and to be as ethical and efficient and as capable. That's my thing, is helping people be the most efficient,
we just want to be lethal.
And capable. Being, yeah, most lethal hunter you can be. You know,
right.
I have no problem with taking the first shot opportunity you get. If your goal is to put meat on the plate, my responsibility to my family and to myself is to put meat in the freezer because, I mean, I enjoy hunting, and if I don't kill anything, I still enjoy hunting.
Yeah, of course.
But when it comes down to it, and it takes, you know, if somebody has a problem with me shooting long range, I'm going to take the first shot I know I can hit.
Yeah.
I mean, whether that's at 70 yards, whether that's farther,
yeah,
could be.
For some people, not for me.
For some people, yeah. As a hunter, as wanting to be an efficient hunter, I'm going to take the first broadside shot I get, whether that's at 70 or 10. That's what I'm going to do. And if I know I can make that shot at 70, I'm not going to wait for 10. To answer your question, yeah, I wish I would have waited, and the responsible thing to do in my head, and a lot of guys probably would have took that shot. I guarantee you a lot of guys would have took the same shot.
Yeah, I can't say I would have had the self-control yeah. not to. I'm just asking, yeah. looking back,
everybody wants to say what you should have done after the game's over, but...
I'm talking about controllables. So, like, the right. bow blowing up, not controllable. Your time constraints, not really controllable.
Not really controllable.
But what was controllable.
Yeah, me pulling the trigger on that honk without proving to myself that arrow was going to hit was a mistake.
Okay.
And straight up on it, not the bow's fault, not the tune's fault, not the broadhead, the arrow, not the guide, not the pig.
Yeah.
It's the Indian. It's me.
Sure.
And later in the hunt, we'll flash forward here. Later in the hunt, I had a giant hog, 45 yards broadside, and I let it walk.
Yeah, good.
I let it walk. And then I'm walking back to the guide. He's looking at me. He, you know, Sean was probably frustrated. He did a good job of hiding it, but he was probably frustrated. He's like, what happened? I'm like, 45 yards broadside. And he's like, and? And I'm like, I passed up the shot. I couldn't do it. And
yeah.
I'm like, Bob should have stalked that hog. He would have killed it. I mean, he would have smoked that hog. And Bob was shooting really good. And he's like, you know, God, you could have shot that hog, man. And I'm like, I have confidence in me. I don't have confidence in the bow. set up right now.
Yeah,
I
past just, 40. So past 40, you then took back your effective range, 40 yards, said that's it, no further. And
yeah, and I wasn't killing it at 40. I was a little bit smaller than a pie plate at 40 consistently.
Yeah.
And that's not killing it at 40. That's shit. That's not good. And on a hog, you don't have that big of a room of air. So I was kind of stretching it at 40. I was probably 4.5 to 6-inch groups at 40.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy with that.
Okay.
And so 45, I'm like, I want that hog. He had huge cutters. He was a big hog. Really, 250-pound hog. I don't know. He's a good-sized hog. And let him walk. And I had all day to shoot him. So I tried getting closer. I tried getting to 40, 35, and I had the tree between me and him. And I went real slow while he was feeding, and I think he caught movement somehow between me and that little tree. And he got pissed and ran off.
Yeah.
So I tried closing the distance, and I got busted for it.
Yeah, but you stuck back to what you knew was right.
Well, we'll put it this way. When we got back to camp, I said, I'm going to shoot 45 just for shits and giggles, and we're going to see what would have happened here. And I shot 6 inches low left.
Yeah.
That's not.
Yeah, that's nothing right.
And then we both looked at each other. He's like, you did the right thing. I'm like, I know I did the right thing. Even if I hit bullseye, I did the right thing. Because I guarantee you that next arrow could be 4 inches low.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
And, I was shooting, like I said, I was shooting different types of broadheads, 4 or 5 different types of broadheads in my day 6 review. And just showing how good the arrows were flying without tuning them.
Right.
And the annihilators and the day 6s were 2 of them I was going to use. They were touching each other. They were sharing almost holes at 40. And I think out to 50.
Huh.
And I couldn't even shoot my annihilators because I dialed them into the day 6. Whole arrow setup and everything. And with a good tune, I know that bow can shoot them all. My annihilators would slap the ground and hit the target at 60.
Wow.
It's just something's going on. I haven't had time to figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the arrows. I know it's not the annihilators. I know it's not any other type of rod. It's got to be the bow.
Right. Now you got a month to get it fixed.
I've got less than a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going over my antelope hunting with Kim, and my deer tag starts the first week into her antelope hunt.
Oh.
So.
All right. Well, you better get on her.
Yeah.
And here you are, just, killing an hour podcasting at my
house. Yacking away, yeah. Yeah, I got to go down to Brookings later tonight and work down there for the next 3 days, so I won't have much time.
Well, we'll get it figured out.
Sunday is my day. I'm taking a personal day Sunday. Just me and my bow down to the range.
Yeah.
And I'm going to
get her dialed in.
Get her
Perfect.
Dialed in again.
Awesome.
I might even take the whisker biscuit off there and just say, to hell with the budget bow challenge. I've already killed 2 things with the budget bow.
Yeah. Turkey and a pig.
Turkey and a pig. Granted, the arrow wasn't budget on the pig, but I'm not into wounding shit and I don't have enough time to figure it out.
Right.
That or I just sell the budget bow and move on. I'm done with it. At this point, I mean, I've proven that you can go out and hunt with it, and I've proven that you can go out and kill shit with it. So, I don't know.
All right. Well, let's bump into day 2. So, day 1, you wound and possibly kill and do not recover a hog. You're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Heat exhaustion.
Yeah. Day 2, I didn't go out until 5 o'clock. They came and picked me back up.
5 o'clock p.m.?
5 o'clock p.m. We're back at camp, or back at the ranch. And
Bob and Tyler are out.
Bob and Tyler are with us.
They were hunting in the morning, though, right?
Yeah, they hunted in the morning. Okay. They got into a pile of hogs. They got into like 20 or 30 hogs in the same drainage I wounded that big hog. And so we're going back, and we're going to glass off this big knob. And it's rolling hills with lots of oaks, a few ponds scattered out, and water's getting pretty scarce. And a lot of little dried-up creek beds that you can use for your stocks. And we get up to this top here, and I'm feeling real good. I was drinking lots of water, hydrated. I feel really good.
Got plenty of sleep.
Yeah. I feel like I can run a marathon. And
well, you're a high maintenance woman. You require a lot of sleep, anyways.
I do. And so, long story short, go to this knob, and I beat everybody there because I'm like excited. Like I feel good. We're gonna get. It's Bob's turn. Need to hurry up and get Bob a hog so I can get back on my turn. And right away I spot. A really nice boar in a great spot to kill. He's just one little finger ridge over from where my big hog was, and he's feeding right down to this dried up creek that feeds into this pond. And got it all on video, great footage. This is the footage that we were talking about earlier. Perfect lighting. Bob makes a stock, and Bob doesn't like to shoot past 60. He prefers like 40 in it.
Yeah, we were talking down at Sages, and I think he said 55.
Yeah.
Is what he you said, how far will you shoot a hog? And he said, oh, 55.
Yeah.
And you said, really? You'll shoot that far?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll
he doesn't
shoot that
like
far.
To, but you know, if he it's got to be perfect.
Well, for everybody him. Would prefer a 20-yard shot. So.
Everybody, yeah. And so he has this big boar at 60. He finally sneaks into it, has this big boar at 60, and then just tries getting a little closer, and it busts him. And so while he's doing that, I'm glassing for more hogs because, you know, for better or worse, whether that stock works out or doesn't work out, we need to be able to jump ship to something else. And so way up on the next ridge, it's almost probably pretty close to 3/4 of a mile, I spot this big herd of hogs, and it turned out to be one of the herds that they saw that night before, or that morning, and they're feeding right down the same drainage that big hog was, right down to Bob, but we're running out of daylight now. It's like 8:30, and so I run down the hill, and it's probably 600 yards to them, run all the way down the hill to Tyler and Bob, and you know, they're kind of licking their wounds, you know, from a failed stock, and I get down there. I've got my arrows in one hand, my bow in the other, and just hoping I don't fall and you know, punji myself with my arrows. And I get down there, and I'm like, guys, we got hogs. We got to go. And I'm like, we don't have time to talk about this. We got
to
go. Yeah. And I'm like, we need to go way up this ridge. So we run, and we run up this ridge. And just as I'm cresting the ridge, I'm leaning against this big oak tree because I don't want to give my silhouette up. So I'm using the oak tree. And I just see this really big hog about 100 yards below me, like, trotting down the canyon. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, we got to go back down the ridge now.
Yeah.
And then back basically to the mouth of the ridge. And so they're in the kind of the gut. We're up on the ridge. And so we run back down. And I want to use a little bit of terrain to kind of cut them off before they get out into this huge wide flat.
Uh-huh.
And because once they go out there, there's tons of green grass. Who knows where they're going to go?
Right.
Probably towards the pond, but there's, you know, who knows? So I'm like, I want to cut them off kind of towards the opening of the mouth. Bob wants to use the creek bed. So I stop where I'm at. It's Bob's stock. I'm just going to stay out of it. And then if they come my way, they come my way. But, you know, Bob's going to do his stock. And fast forward 20 minutes, we're getting down to low light here. It's before 9 o'clock. But we only have like another 20 minutes of daylight.
Yeah.
And these hogs are feeding out. And then there's a ton of them. And I'm getting to the point where now I have hogs 25 yards in front of me. And I got this boar. He's about 80 pounds. And it's tall grass, you know, a little bit taller than knee high grass. And Bob's in this creek drainage. And he's gun shy from the previous stock. He doesn't want to get busted. And so, but I'm like, you know, trying to like encourage him mentally. I couldn't make a lot of movement. And then finally he gets the courage and sneaks up this creek and then gets in these tall, like he called it tobacco weed, but it was this weird plant that he was sitting in, and they finally start feeding into him. The other side of the herd does. They get 25 yards from him. This boar is 25 yards from me. I'm sitting in the grass. He must make out my silhouette or something. And the hair on the back of his neck and back stands up, and he's ugh, ugh, and he's pissed, and he doesn't know what I am, but he doesn't like me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna knock an arrow, and if I have to shoot this cocksucker out of self defense, I'm gonna like I'd be happy to take this little guy home. You know, I don't care. It's not my turn, but at the last possible chance, I'm gonna give Bob until I have to shoot this thing out of self defense. If he comes towards me, I'm gonna do it. And so Tyler sees me knocking arrows, like, Bobby's gonna shoot that hog over there. And then I'm like waiting, and this thing's just staring at me. And then he kind of goes back to feeding, and then he'd pop up real quick trying to catch, you know, see if he can catch me moving.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just sitting there with an arrow knocked, hand on my bow, just waiting to draw. And I'm looking at Bob, and I decided as soon as Bob draws, I'm gonna draw, and we're gonna try and get a twofer. And so my reactions weren't very good. Bob had a hog at 25 yards. He shoots, and by the time I pull the trigger, and my hog jumped his string.
Oh.
But by the time I pulled the trigger, his arrow had already hit the hog, and so my reaction time must have sucked, because by the time I pulled the trigger, my hog was already, like, gone And so I was like, I didn't work out very well. So I shouldn't even have took a shot. It was a clean miss, but I was trying to be
on point,
optimistic, I guess. Yeah, on point, thinking we could we could get a double. But Bob smokes his with an annihilator and goes 250 yards uphill. These things are tough.
Oh,
he gets the liver, the lung, and the spleen, and he just like
quartered away.
Yeah, comes out right behind the shoulder, and made a good shot on it. And now you know we're home at 1:30 again, and we're getting up at 4:30. So that was day two.
Okay.
Day three, I'm back up to the plate, and this is where I pass up that big-ass hog at 45 right off the bat. That kills about half an hour of daylight, and then we found him right at daylight.
Okay.
The big hog. And that doesn't work out. Hunt the rest of the day. I think we see one more hog that morning, and it was a giant white on white hog, so white hair, white skin.
Uh-huh.
Giant, over 300 pounds. And it's feeding like a mile away, and it's gone. So keep that one in the bank, I guess, in the memory bank. Don't see anything. Come back the next evening, and we drive around, and we glass. It's a 13,000-acre ranch, and it's huge. And we didn't see half of it while we were there, but we didn't see anything. And then we have like... this is the last night, isn't it?
So you hunted five total days, right?
Four.
4 days.
We hunted Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, no. Yeah, this is the last day. We only hunted 3 days.
Yeah, okay.
Because we headed back Sunday. So this is the last day we have to hunt because we're all dead dog tired. We're running on like 10 hours of sleep through
3 days.
3 or 4 days. Yeah. Tyler's running on less than 10 hours in like 5 days. And so Sean, like I'm beating myself up. Everything's gone wrong. My rangefinder died back at camp. Sean luckily had an extra battery. And I replace my batteries once a year in my rangefinder.
I do it right before elk season.
Yeah, I do mine typically around January kind of a calendar thing. And didn't have my extra battery in my thing. Luckily, Sean took care of me. So my arrows kept falling out of the side-by-side. It's just Murphy's Law, man. Everything that could have went wrong did. And so it's like 20 minutes to dark. Like you can't shoot. It's too dark. And Sean's like, let's haul ass over to this pond that got hit the night before where we weren't hunting. But it got hit the night before.
Oh, the hogs were there?
The hogs were there the night before. And it looked like there was a good amount of sign there. And so I'm like, cool. You know, like, this is embarrassing. This is a very high success rate. I'm not going to leave with a hog.
You're doubting yourself.
And just kicking myself in the butt, having like a mental pity party. I'm not trying to ruin the hunt for anybody else. So I'm keeping all on the inside. But I'm getting pretty frustrated because I had to pick up my arrows 3 times in like 10 minutes because they fell out of the stupid side-by-side. And so I just put them like literally in the back and put my pack on top of them. And like, you guys, I'm done. And Hail Mary to this pond. And so we get there, very little daylight left. And it's basically just... let's go see if we can't see a hog. We've seen two hogs all day.
Yeah.
We get there. Tyler spots three hogs, two big ones, one little one, coming down to the pond. And if they keep going to these tules, these really tall-ass blades of grass, I'm going to have a pretty good stock on them, but it's going to happen quick. So I run back to the side-by-side. I grab my arrows and run back, and these pigs are slowly working their way to the pond, so I kind of use some terrain. I get within about 100 yards of them, and then I'm just sneaking in. You know, when they're not facing me, I'll take a few steps and just kind of playing that game. And then when they finally get down to the tules, there's one big sow that's kind of that they're following. And then she must have had like a 100 or 80-pound piglet.
Uh-huh.
I guess you can call it a piglet, yearling. And then there's another big sow. And they went down to the water, and then as soon as they hit the water, I'm about 60 yards from the pond at this point. And 60 yards from the hogs. And as soon as they hit those tules and I hear them splashing around, I make a pretty quick dash to this oak tree that's 25 yards from where I think, hope they're going to come out. It's this muddy spot where you kind of see where they went in. And man, they were splashing. And I just closed a bunch of ground within like 3 minutes. I was in range. And I know it doesn't sound quick, but if you're stalking, that's pretty quick. And so finally, I hear the steps getting in shallower water. And so I grab my rangefinder. I range some dirt where she's going to come out. And then right when I'm doing that, she comes out. And then so I just stop her, ranger, knock an arrow, pull back. And I think I ranged her. It was fairly dark. So I think I ranged her. I could see the whole pig. The rangefinder kind of glares when it's in low light. Yeah. The screen glares, so it's kind of hard to tell. But 25 yards, like I thought. And I'm like, if it's 30, I should still hit. I'll just aim middle of the body. And 25, I just put my 20 pin on the midsection, middle, in the right behind the armpit, right where you want.
Yep.
And let it fly, and it smacked. And I'm like, yo, God, I cannot believe that just happened. Like, I just kept saying that. I'm like, dude, we had like literally minutes on the last day. That is incredible. That is incredible. I cannot believe that just happened. And then she runs. And so I grab my arrows and I run over this little ridge to make sure she, you know, she doesn't get out of sight. And she runs up this little ridge and she's in front of the hogs. And then she starts slowing down. The other hogs start catching her and then they pass her. And then she makes it over the ridge uphill.
Oh, gosh.
And it's thick manzanita on the other side. And then they run right past Bob. And then there's like 30 more up the drainage that Bob like makes mad dash to, and he runs out of daylight. He only had like a couple minutes to get to him. So we, long story short, we all grab the headlamps and flashlights, and we start looking for my pig. An hour later, we're on the blood trail, and it goes uphill for a while, and then it goes kind of side hill and then back uphill. And now we're like 250, 300 yards into the trail, and it ain't looking good because I thought I smoked her. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, I couldn't see my arrow, but I knew where the pin was. I felt really good. Everything, just like the first hog, felt great. And then we track her into some thick manzanita where she doesn't even want to go in it. We had this, like, 20 by 20 foot area where it's just blood, like, just scattered everywhere.
She ran
circles. Just ran just over here, over there, didn't know where to go, ran back out. It took us a half an hour to figure out. She backtracked about 20 yards and then went down this cattle trail, picked up her trail again, and then by this time, I'm like, we're not going to find her. We're over an hour into tracking her, and we're not going to find her. She's gone about 350 yards at this point, and it's not looking good. I mean, even if a double lung, she shouldn't have gone that far.
Right.
And Sean's like, I don't know, guys, it's not looking good. I'm like, I was just thinking that same thing. And so we're all think she went back down the hill, and now we can hear the bullfrogs again. She went back, started going back to the pond.
Oh.
Yeah. And then 20 seconds later, after Sean says, guys, it's not looking good, and we hadn't had blood from the last spot in like 20 minutes, I'm like, shit, you know, we're getting to the end of giving up here. I can tell, you know, we'll probably come back in the morning if we don't find her, look for a little bit, and then head back to Oregon. And then right after, you know, 20 seconds after Sean said that, he's like, oh, I got blood over here. Oh, I got a hog over here. I'm like, no shit.
Yeah.
Holy, you serious? You messing with me, man? He's like, no, I got it right here. It's dead under this tree. I'm like, no freaking way. Like, where did I hit that thing? That's my, as soon as he, I'm like, where did I hit that thing?
Yeah.
It's a great big mystery because we had really good blood at the end of the blood trail. When she started slowing down, it was pretty good blood.
Yeah.
And so we get over there, and the first thing I do is we pull the hog out of the tree, and I flip her over because I couldn't see a wound. And we flip her over, and then I'm like, wow, I see some blood like by her armpit here. And I'll post a picture of it. I think I actually already did. And if you look at the picture on my Instagram, it's about literally 1 inch from missing the brisket. It was that low. It went through, the hog had about 1.5 to 2 inches worth of meat under the brisket, under the ribs, out of the body cavity, right? You got that big hog brisket. It went right here and without going into the body cavity, and then went all the way through. She,
what?
Yeah.
You just bled her out.
Either that or she had a heart attack.
she was so nervous about going in the manzanitas.
Yeah, so Tyler's like, after that, he's like, I think she died of a heart attack. I was like, well, we didn't have a ton of blood, but we had pretty decent blood. Sean thinks she bled out. I don't know. I don't really.
Was there a lot in the cavity? There was nothing in the cavity.
There was nothing in the cavity. It didn't poke through 1 inch. It didn't poke through a centimeter. It was pure flesh. And unless there's an artery that runs within an inch of the skin.
No.
that I don't know about.
You just hit enough veins maybe passing through there that
water out. You know, I hit it 10 times better than that first hog did. 10 times better. I got inside the cavity on that first hog.
Yeah.
This one died. The boar didn't. And crazy. So when we walked up to it, and we flopped it over, and then we could see the wound. He literally could stick one finger in one wound, one finger in the other, and then touch his index fingers together. That's how low it was on the hog.
Wow.
Yeah, talk about shithouse luck. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. At this point, I'd rather be lucky than good because I wasn't good and got my first hog. I mean, I was stoked. I was so ecstatic. Talk about highs and lows, man.
Yeah.
I went on a roller coaster of a hunt, and you know, I should have killed two monster hogs. You know, both in the 240s, 250s.
But I mean, we always should have.
Right.
Right. So,
right.
I mean, you're just lucky enough.
Super lucky that I got that hog.
You found the one.
Well, I kept it inside that range.
Yeah.
And stuck and true I to still it. I yeah, unless she somehow was farther than 25 yards, I had something going on.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it was a great shot in line with where I wanted to hit, but it was 6 inches low. Huh. At 25. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. So you ended up killing a hog, taking one home. Bob ended up killing a hog.
Yeah, he killed a boar, we're both super happy. Our tags are good till next June.
Yeah.
So we're already like starting to talk about another trip.
Oh, did you buy two tags?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was going to kill one with the Annihilator, and I was going to kill one with the Day 6.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Yeah, sounds like a good time. So
it
I
was
mean,
a great time.
When you think about it, I mean, one for two, swing and a miss on –
Yeah, I swung at him.
Well, swing and a hit, I guess. And what are you gonna do? I mean, shy of having a blood tracking dog.
Yeah.
To go and run
then,
that hog.
And then
down.
That hog that size, tear your dog up.
Well, it depends.
I don't know. I mean, they had like 3-4 inch cutters.
Well, they have those like the hog dogs themselves. They have those Kevlar.
Oh, do they?
Collars, yeah. So they don't get cut.
Yeah.
They have like chest plate type of things and collars that are all covered them up and GPS trackers. They're like, you ever watch Jimmy Neutron? You know, his dog Goddard? They're like crazy robot dogs and they put all that stuff on them. So, I just wanted, I mean, the main reason for this, you can probably listen to 1,000 podcasts on hog hunts, right? You could probably go and find a podcast on a private ranch hog hunt anywhere. One
not
of the main reasons, not with Garrett, the carrot beaver.
Off point, yeah.
You were off point. The main reason I wanted to have you on here and talk about this is because I think a lot of people look at guys and just assume they're always successful and it always goes great for them and everything is always fantastic. And so I wanted to highlight this shit show of an adventure that you had over the course of 4 days before you left through the entire hog hunt, the highs, the lows, the equipment malfunction, and not only that, but the mental malfunction that you had with, I mean, you forgot your quiver.
Yeah, I lost the quiver attachment, and then so what I'd been doing is carrying my quiver around, which would have worked great, and not having my quiver cost me, I think, a hog, because I could have stuck that hog again if I would have had, because Sean had to throw me another arrow.
Yeah.
So, you know, that probably cost me that. In my opinion, if I could have shot straight, could have cost me a giant hog.
Yeah.
And, you know, just error after error. And what sucks is that most of these errors were self-inflicted. I mean, the only part of my hunt that was on point was the stocks.
Yeah.
Every hog that I stocked, I got.
Well, and it sounds like your shot process was
within
good.
Range. I felt like my shot process was what I wanted.
Yeah.
The shot broke. I had good separation. I have a video. I didn't post a video of where I missed, but I will. And it, you know, I'm really proud of that video because my goal is to be like my buddy Mitch with a rifle. He's like Cool Hand Luke. I talk about it all the time. He's great shot, takes his time. And, you know, so I want to be that with a bow. And so, you know, in the video, I range it, I draw back, I'm into my shot. I just take a deep, and I was such a loud, I didn't mean it to be a loud breath. It was such a loud breath, the hog stopped and looked at me. I mean, you can hear it on the camera, and I'm like 20 yards from Sean. Yeah, and I'm proud of that because I took the time to slow my heartbeat down, calm myself down.
Right.
And I wasn't like, not in a bad way, but I wasn't super excited.
Yeah, you know, no, I mean, that's
it,
good,
it was a pig. I didn't. It's like somebody coming over here and shooting a coyote. I mean, they could shoot the world's biggest coyote, but if they've never really seen one, they don't know what to appreciate.
Right.
And that's kind of was with me with the hog. Like, I had no idea this was a world-class hog for that area. Like,
right.
Yeah, or whatever. I mean, he says it was like one that you want to mount, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so kind of like rounding around back to what I was getting at is I just think that it's good to highlight the fact that we all screw shit up all the time. And it's not like, so with the whole social media thing, and I'll touch on this 1,000 times because mm-hmm. all people want to show is their best times. They'll just post a picture and be like, hey, look at how great my hunt went. I'm awesome. And then they leave out the part where their bow broke down. Their bow wasn't mm-hmm. tuned. They exceeded their perceived limitations, so to say.
Right.
And then just went ahead and ran with it and don't tell you about the one they missed or the one they hit.
Yeah.
Whatever they screwed up, their lack of preparation, whether it be from the heat or, you know, all the stuff that people aren't sharing that I just wanted to kind of get out there and maybe make a guy or two think about, not pulling their bow out of the closet and shooting a few arrows before they go.
Yeah. You know,
go hunting.
I take pride in having my shit together when it comes to archery, and it can happen to anybody. And you know, me going, I cut corners on this hunt with my arrow build, and I don't know if I'll find out. That's the thing. I'm going to find out exactly what went wrong with my bow setup and my arrow tune. I didn't tune my arrows because it was the same batch of arrows I used for that YouTube video I did on the review.
Yeah.
But I was smacking. I mean, I was shooting good with broadheads. So, you know, I'm going to figure it out, man. I mean, back to the drawing board, and I was overconfident because I knew how good I was.
You know,
it
could just be too, like the difference in deflection in the limbs, the new limbs you got.
Could be, yeah.
They're not going to. They could be not exactly the same, right?
Like, very possible.
So as the last set. So
yeah, man. I mean, there's long story short. For guys that are listening to this thing, I'm a transparent guy. I'm not going to church it up. If I screw up, I'll own it, and I own this. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I apologized to Bob, Sean, and Tyler for not being what I perceive myself to be, the way that
to
I want
to be better.
Yeah,
for
to
not
be better.
Being better.
I don't like being the weakest link on a hunt, and I was. And, you know, we would have had probably 4 hogs if it wasn't for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you can't sit there and self-loathe about it. You
no,
it is what it is. You go back and get it done. You learn, right? Obviously, you learn a ton about this.
Yeah. At this point, you know, things that I learned about myself is that I hate missing more than I love hitting.
Oh, who doesn't hate missing?
Well, I hate it more than hitting what I'm aiming at. Like,
yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it just
you would.
I love shooting what I'm hitting at. But that the hate drives me more than the love of hitting.
Right.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And I even though I killed that hog, I missed.
Uh-huh.
I missed. I was 4 inches, 6 inches off from where I wanted to hit. And that 4 to 6, I'm the type of guy that will hit a 12, and it's barely a 12, and I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Or I will hit a good shot, but yet my shot execution was shit, but I got lucky and it hit a 10. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm that guy that I'm bitching about.
Yeah, you're particular.
Yeah.
About your shooting.
Yeah, so I've got stuff I want to work on. I've only got 3 weeks to do it. So whether I'm going to change some shit out on my bow and just be done with the budget build or keep doing the budget build and just, I don't know. I got to figure this out quick, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you guys take anything from this, you need to be fluid with your effective range isn't set in stone. You need to be fluid. If you're shooting like shit one day, just like a trad archer, if you're shooting like shit one day, but you usually shoot really good at that range, why are you going to shoot an animal at that range that day?
Right, I agree.
You got to be fluid.
Or, I mean, even if conditions are different, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you're used to shooting really good at 80 yards, so mm-hmm. you're going to say, okay, well, my max range on an elk, like for me, personally, on good conditions, I always will tell myself if I can get that bull within 70 yards, mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot it
mm-hmm.
because I'm confident in my shooting. You got a pretty damn big target on a set of elk lungs, right? You're talking 14 or 16 inch
pretty good size
plate to hit at. So you're shooting 2 times an archer's MOA, so to say, right? At 70 yards.
Right.
And I'm confident that 95 out of 100 times I shoot that shot, it'll be within 6 to 8 inches, right?
Yeah.
And so that leaves me a ton of room for error. That being said, I'm not shooting 70 yards in a 20 mile an hour crosswind.
Right.
No way. Or a 20 mile an hour headwind. I learned that one in New Mexico.
Right.
I took a long shot in a headwind and shot right underneath a deer. And looking back, I'm like, what? What the hell?
Why did I
and
do
I
that?
Shot, well, no, not why did I do that. Just like, how did I shoot low? It felt perfect.
Oh.
Turns out, right? Headwind pushes an arrow down. So, so I think conditions as well as just like you said, what you're feeling. Right. How are you feeling today? You know, I don't know if a pitcher in the MLB is warming up and his slider sucks, he doesn't throw the slider.
Yeah.
You know, he might throw it a couple times during the game, but he's got 120 pitches. You got one shot.
Right.
So for him, if he's got one pitch and the one pitch that hasn't been working, ain't throwing it.
Right.
He's going to throw a fastball. And so if that for you, if your slider's off, and for that meaning like, if you're not shooting good at 55 yards the day before you leave for a hunt, well, guess what? You better rein it in.
Right.
Or you better shoot 55 yards in the morning at a rotten stump and make sure that what you got is what you got.
I totally 100% agree. And you know, it is what it is. I went, you know, if you would have asked me a week before the hunt, I would have said 80 yards, I'll smoke a hog. I don't care. Like, I mean, I wouldn't have took one because I'm not comfortable with that. If it was something else that I had been comfortable with. I'm not saying I'm going out there. I try to keep myself around 70 yards or less.
Yeah.
Most of the time, there's been certain scenarios where I've shot farther than that. But my goal was 60, 70 max.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I got that 60, but I forced it.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
And I own it. And, you know, guys can bash me or not bash me for that.
Yeah,
but,
whatever.
Yeah, I don't really give a shit, but... you know, it is what it is, man. And hopefully somebody listening to this podcast can be like, you know, I'm maybe I need to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee you, if I have a bull at 50 yards, I'm not shooting right now.
Not right now.
I wouldn't.
No.
I'd be irresponsible.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So.
But yeah, I can tell you the guide was sure happy after we got back to his house and he saw where that arrow hit at 45. He's like, you know, he just, damn.
You did the right thing.
You did the right thing. And even if I, like I said, I hit a bullseye, I did the right thing.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Hopefully you learned a big life lesson from it.
Garrett's an idiot.
I mean, I wasn't going to say it.
Well,
I was
it's, man, before the podcast, before the YouTube channel and everything, I would have had enough time. And I'm not blaming that but I'm just saying lack of time and wanting a hog too bad.
Yeah.
Too much.
And perhaps a little bit of overconfidence going into
it. Overconfidence going into it. If you would have told me that I would have passed up a 45 yard shot on a hog the week before that, I would have said, no, I didn't. There's no way. There's no way. And so being overconfident just from previous success and you know, I had that confidence from shooting really good, but being overconfident with that setup on that day was a mistake.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think that about wraps it up. If you want to check out Garrett's stuff, head over to the Bow Hike. Oh, no, I'm the Bow Hike Podcast. Head over to the On Point Podcast. Find him on iTunes, Spotify. No, not Spotify.
I'm on Spotify.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal.
Same here.
Are you on Spotify
too? Yeah, of course I am.
Somebody asked me if I was on Spotify. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I am. And they're like, wow. I'm like, is that good?
Yeah. No, you just ask them, and then they'll let you on. So.
Oh, really? I have no idea.
YouTube channel, what, Garrett Weaver?
Yeah, just YouTube type in my name, 2RS2Ts, or type in On Point. It's gotten to the point where you can type in On Point Podcast or something, and I'll pull it up too.
Right on. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Glad to have you. Glad to hear about your
failures.
Thanks
for having me on.
Make me feel better about my failures.
Yeah, thanks for letting me get on my soapbox for a little bit. But it's good to have you guys, and I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll see you guys later.
See ya.
Bye. Is that one?
Mm-hmm.
Is that one?
Mm-hmm.
Is that one?
Mm-hmm.
Is that one?